My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello and welcome to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk about all things Star Wars. My name is James. No, we're not going to do this.
My name's David. I want to say, I think David and I were playing a game of chicken. I'm Colin.
And yeah, as you heard before, this is a place we talk about all things Star Wars. We had it's an emergency podcast today. hopefully, I wasn't going to, but then I got outvoted. So here we are. We're about to record this thing. But before we get started, David, I believe you have some people we need to thank before we get this thing started.
Yes, if you look at the bottom scroll, you'll see all of our awesome patron names. Hayden Hooser, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel, Finver 526, Maya Morris, and Maka Tautala. Thank you so much for all your awesome support. Now, James, take it away.
So, we have received word. It's not even like a fulcrum thing. It's just we have received word, and it's been around... It's been a rumor for a while, and you and we've all talked about this for a while. Like,
so we started the rumor. Star Wars the podcast.
I think we started the rumor. Yeah,
in 2019,
which was, what if season 4 of Mando is a movie instead of a Disney Plus show? And the rumors was there, and then it all died down once. I believe it kind of died down once we found out that Filoni was getting his own movie that was going to be like the big finale of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then in July it got picked up again that there may be a movie, and then it died down. But now it seems like it's back and it's more of a possibility. So yes, rumors are going around. Oh, hello, Crystal. Thank you for joining us. If y'all have a chance, check out Crystal's Instagram page and her YouTube channel. She is amazing. Has a lot of great Star Wars content out there. Just saying. She's awesome. But yeah, the rumor is season 4 of Mando is no longer going to be on Disney Plus, but it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a feature film, which is sounding like it's its own thing. It's not even going to be those three movies that we were promised. That's how it's sounding. It's sounding like this is going to be its own movie that's going to kind of start the whole thing going. And how do y'all feel about this? Is this a good idea, or is this like, wow, Disney, really, you got to pull this? But I personally think it's a great idea. But what do y'all think?
So from my understanding was when we got the announcement at Star Wars Celebration London that Dave Filoni was doing his movie, it was going to to me, it came off that it was going to be a big tie-in with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And to me, that was kind of going to be like season 4. Just especially with the way that season 3 ended of Mando. Because to me, it was like the only next big step to go from here would have to be a very big event that would have to bring Mando back. Because we ended it where it was like Din Djarin was sitting in a rocking chair watching his son play with frogs. To me, that was kind of an end of an era in a way, even though it was hinted at that his story will continue in some way. But to me, it would have to be a big event that would have to bring him back. So yeah, it makes sense that season 4 would end up being the movie. But to me, this is kind of like old news, but now it's just kind of being like highlighted. So I wasn't surprised. I'm excited, but I'm not really surprised by this, if that makes sense.
It all makes sense. And in case you're just joining us, Retro Ray is in the house. How you doing, Retro Ray? Oh, you're muted.
What's going on, guys? Sorry for crashing the meeting.
No, you're good. You're good. So yeah. So how do you, what are your thoughts about season 4 of Mando being turned into a movie, and the fact that this is starting to gain a lot of traction in the nerd community, if you may? What's your opinion about it?
I mean, we've been talking about on the show for quite a while that this is what they should do. I'm excited. They
listen to us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, well, hoping they listen to us. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, because we get to see, you know, they're gonna have the red carpet events. Now the thing is, what are we looking at? 2025, 2026? How long of a wait are we looking?
Yeah, right. That's true. Right. Because the rumor right now, that which some people aren't talking about, I've only seen one news site talk about this, is that it might come out before the Rey movie. Which is pretty big. So that means that we might see Star Wars on the big screen a lot sooner than we think, which would be amazing. I have no complaints with that, because I think Star Wars to me has it started its journey in the cinema. So if it comes back, that would be incredible.
That would be super interesting, because the Rey movie shoots in April.
Yeah.
Allegedly. But if the Mando movie comes out before the Rey movie, are they going to rush out the Mando movie then?
Because that doesn't make
sense to me.
It's a little, because, and here's another thing. Isn't the Rey movie supposed to be 2026, like May 2026?
Yeah. Yeah, there's supposed to be two movies in 2026. We just haven't been told which ones precisely. But according to everything that's out there, the, what's the guy's name, the director? James Mangold, his film isn't going to drop until the very end. So that would be the Mando Connective Universe movie and the Rey movie dropping in the same year.
Yep.
Question now, which one we're going to get first. I feel like we're going to get the Rey movie first and then Mando for Christmas, which would be great.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I've been asking for, and I think everyone kind of wants. But, I mean, it's a slam dunk. I mean, they should have done this a long time ago. I don't understand why there was such a long wait. It's a weird thing. But now maybe with Filoni in being the creative control officer or whatever his title is, he said, hey, look, we need to do this. This will make us money. We're looking to make money in theaters. Let's do the Mando movie. Just make season 4 into the Mando movie. I can help with that. He didn't help so much with season 3 because he was doing Ahsoka.
Yeah.
He was next door to that production. He might have walked over and helped out with notes and stuff. But he was concentrated on Ahsoka. So I welcome the news. They waited a little bit too long, man. I'm glad it's coming, but this should have happened years ago, really.
Right.
So let me ask this question. Maybe I'm wrong, and I said it before at the beginning of the episode, and I apologize, but this sounds like it's going to be its own. It's going to be separate from the three movies that were announced.
Uh-oh.
Possibly.
Yeah. So here's my thing with that is if they have, like, so it says movie, right? Mm-hmm. It could come in the cinema. It could just go straight to Disney Plus. We don't know.
I think they'd want to get that. I think they want to get it in theaters, because one of the articles one of the things is they think they Disney and Lucasfilm want to get Star Wars back in the theaters, to get people. And mind you, this isn't going to be a $1 billion box office movie. It might be, but it feels like it's like, okay, we got this thing. It's good. If by all accounts, if this rumor is true, I think the movie's already written.
And it's right, like, that's what we do know. Favreau wrote the script for season 4 a long time ago,
so
they know what's going to happen. Now they just got to condense it. Maybe it's already been condensed into a script into a feature length film,
and then maybe
that'd be great.
Yeah, and then some of that stuff now gets moved over to Filoni's movie, and so it's really weird. It's really weird that if this is its own movie, that means it has to get started in January in production. Has to be shot, January, February, by at least March. We're in the volume, so we don't have to travel around the world, which a 2 or 3 month production is possible. Post-production throughout the entire summer, and then release Christmas of next year for this to be possibly, if this rumor is true, and if we're thinking it's its own movie, that's the only time it can come out is next year and at Christmas time.
But so, what does it do? But what does it do about the other shows? Acolyte, you know what I mean? How does it affect the
Acolyte, Skeleton Crew's already shot? It's already in the can, really. Yeah. It's just all post.
But does that mean we're going to get them released sooner instead of pushing them off?
Well, it's TV. I mean, it doesn't really affect
Yeah.
theater scheduling.
I think
that's kind of like in its own realm.
with Disney Plus, yeah, they're gonna stick to their schedule that they have, which they keep moving that around. But
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But is it possible for it to come out next year in Christmas time?
If I mean, I say anything is possible. You have to think that, in a way, after the sequels, the everything happening with the Mandalorian. And in a way, to some fans, it kind of re-sparked Star Wars. Like, it really brought people back into it. For me, I would love for this season 4 Mandalorian film. We're going to have to come up with a better name for this film than season 4. But for me, I think a big thing would really draw people in is that if you kind of treated this like Avengers Infinity War, of where something really big happens in this Mandalorian movie that would lead into Dave Filoni's movie. So the anticipation was like just massive, being like, oh my gosh, holy crap, what's going to happen next? And then it's like, you'll find out what happens next in the Dave Filoni movie.
Yeah, because
I don't want a season 4 Mandalorian movie if it's just going to be him going on a side quest or something, just as a film, as great as that would be. I want this to be a big event to where we've got two great Star Wars movies back to back that have the connection of Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. I think that is a big tie-in, and I think they can do great with it.
So quick question. So what if, how does it affect the Ahsoka then? Is Ahsoka going to tie into this movie as well? Or is it
really that is what I'm after? Thinking.
Well, yeah, it's all tied in together because it's Mandalorian season 4 as a movie. So it's the Mandoverse. The Mandoverse is Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Skeleton Crew. It was going to be Rangers of the New Republic, but they axed that. So, I mean, that's a thing. But now we have a new thing added on to the Favoloniverse big climactic event that was announced at that investor call. So this has been years and years in the making.
I mean, this movie, if done right, if this is even going to happen, right, in a perfect world, we're going to get a movie next Christmas. All right. This is just me speculating. All right. Listeners, don't think that this is fact. But we get this movie, and in this movie is Mando, Din Djarin, Din Grogu, Ahsoka. We get to see maybe not Ahsoka. Maybe Ahsoka stays where she is, but we get Hera. Yeah. We get Ezra, we get Boba Fett gets brought in somehow, and there's a new plot, there's a new threat. We get hints of Skeleton Crew in there now, because Skeleton Crew is also in that same time period, and it just brings everybody together, and we end this movie, and then it's like next year, next Christmas, 2026, is the big movie that's going to bring it all together.
That's like, exactly what I was saying, like how this Mando movie is going to feel like Avengers Infinity War, where something will happen to where like maybe one of the main characters die, or they end the show being like, okay, we found a way to get Ahsoka. We need Thrawn, because Thrawn did something so bad that they're like, we need Ahsoka for this. We can't do this without Ahsoka. We need to find a way to get Ahsoka here in some way. And somehow it will tie in Baylan and that whole storyline with the world between worlds, like in some way with the father and son, or or maybe the mother comes in, like something big that is just going to blow all fans away from all eras of Star Wars, from the sequels, the prequels, and the originals, where it's just going to be the most mind-blowing thing of all time, where it's just going to draw everyone in. And honestly, this would be a great start to do it, because just think about it. You are sitting in the theater, you are watching Avengers Infinity War, everything happens, you're like, oh my God, all the heroes are gone. What's going to happen? And then next year, Avengers Endgame happens and your mind is blown. They can do that with Star Wars in some way. Get that hype, get people in the theater, get excited. Star Wars belongs in the theater. As much as I love the shows, this is where the legacy of Star Wars began. Can you imagine just sitting there with your friends, having like a thing of popcorn, and you're watching the like of just of the Ghost or the Millennium Falcon flying across screen? You're excited. Like, this is happening. How crazy is it going to be if it comes out next year, even sooner than anyone expected? I'm telling you, the hype is real for this. This is something, like David said, this has been in the making for a very long time. So I would get hyped up, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is going to happen. I mean, yeah. That, to me, I don't think that's a big shock. I think Ewan McGregor's going to be there, Hayden, Rosario. Oh, wow, okay. I think they're all going to be there. I mean, it's because it's like the climactic event.
Yeah,
they've been planning for a while. It's just Filoni's writing to it. So I think we're going to get a lot of that, a lot of connectivity.
One thing that would be crazy in this Mando movie is if we do get our deep fake Luke Skywalker, Leia.
Yeah, I think we're going to get that too.
Han Solo. Like,
I don't know about Han Solo, but
I don't know about Han Solo either, but
I think that would surprise people.
Could you imagine? Like, cause that is some money right there.
And then, Harrison Ford's going to get paid.
Oh yeah.
For not even doing work.
And plus your poster is going to have Mando and Grogu on it. Like, you can just release a teaser poster of just Grogu on it. Everyone is going to go and see this movie. The article did say, like, it's not going to be a $1 billion movie. I'm like,
man, it would have back in 2020, 2021. But there was the pandemic. So, I mean, you had all that. But, I mean,
just can you imagine just the teaser poster of just Grogu just on it, and then the title, and it says coming to your galaxy this Christmas? Like, dude, everyone is going to go and watch this movie. Everyone's going to watch this movie. And then you're going to tie in everything. And then you wait a year, and then you get your next big movie. And
we'll probably get the Mythosaur on the big screen.
Yeah. Which, and plus the budget for the movie will be a little bit bigger from the movie. I just said the same thing. The budget for the movie will be bigger than the show. So
what was the budget for the show?
What's up?
What was the budget for the show?
It was like $100 million.
At least $1.
Double.
Yeah.
$250 million.
So maybe $250 million. Yeah. So you can imagine they could.
But see, you mentioned the volume. I don't want them to stay in the volume, though. They need to get out of that thing. But if it's a movie.
With the volume, you're able to make this movie next year. Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah. Cannot make it without the volume, in my opinion.
I don't think they'll film everything in the volume, because you have to think you've got the Book of Boba Fett, where they definitely did film some things in the volume, but they also filmed some things outside of it. I could definitely see them doing it just because of... I don't think filming everything on the volume for a motion picture would be the best idea, just because of at that point, people would be able to tell at that point if everything was filmed on the volume. So I think they would film some things, you know, like on set and in different locations, probably not across the world, but they would probably build some of those sets.
Agreed. Yeah. So, I mean, this is crazy. I keep saying it. This is crazy if it does really happen, and then will this affect the Rey Star Wars movie as well? Will people not be as excited for Rey's movie because of where this Mando season 4 movie will end? Like, will people be excited for this thing, or? I don't know.
I think it will affect the Rey movie in a positive way, because Filoni is more at the top and he can add stuff to the Rey movie that connects back down. Mm-hmm. Now you can have that synchronicity that you didn't have before, because Filoni is now two steps away from the very top, or three steps away.
Do we know that Filoni is, I mean, we know the position he's at. Mm-hmm. Do we know if he is helping at all with the movies that are about to come out? Like, is he
has to be.
He had, see, that's what I'm hoping. But then part of me is wondering if they're still doing this weird thing where they're like, oh, it's its own thing.
Yeah, I don't think he had his hands on Andor season two at all. That's its own thing.
Yeah.
And whatever else just finished where he didn't help, maybe he did notes for Skeleton Crew because it does tie in. But to me, that was like Chris Ford and John Watts that did that. So
what we're hoping for is that Filoni has had a say and a voice in the new movies, right? The Rey movie.
And I totally expect for them to report to Kathleen Kennedy and Kathleen Kennedy be like, Dave, this is yours now.
Because they learned.
You look at this now. I don't look at this anymore. You tell
that's
me.
That's the good. Hope, though. Yeah. That's the hope.
That they have learned, same as Marvel, that Marvel's also learned to, like, hey, you guys need to talk to each other because we're all telling the same story in the same universe. You know that, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to be all secretive about it, you know, which is what they are, which is dumb. So, David, I'm right there with you. I hope, and in my mind, it's happening, but I'm also scared. But I am hoping that Filoni is talking to the writers, is talking to the directors of these new projects that are going to be coming out, and that his voice will be heard, and he can just bring it all.
Well, together. He's like the boss, though. I mean, the boss is creative, so he has to have input. He has to see it all come in. So, yeah.
I'm just nervous somehow they're going to be like, well, this was before he was the boss, so he didn't get a chance to really say anything there, so we're still going to go ahead with the movie. That's what I hope does not happen.
I hope we get to see Rey become Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And take on a new apprentice.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It's Finn. They have, I mean, if John Boyega comes back, which I'm thinking he would, just because I think that script is probably going to be a big redemption arc for what Finn was supposed to get in the sequels. It just makes sense. And then you have that 15-year gap, because that movie takes place 15 years from because it takes 15 years after the events of Rise of Skywalker. And something else that I was thinking about today, do you guys remember that hype, like all the way kind of back in 2014, of where we first got like that teaser trailer for Force Awakens, and you're like, oh, okay.
I talk about it like every other podcast.
I'm telling you, I'm starting to get that feeling. I was at work today, and I'm lucky, and I am currently working at a movie theater, and I just remember just kind of looking around like, you know, in a couple of years, this place is going to be filled with just a bunch of Star Wars fans, and it's going to be incredible. And I just remember seeing Force Awakens and just looking around me and just seeing the excitement in the theater. I can't wait to feel that again. I really can't wait to feel that again. And the last time we felt that was all the way back in 2019. So I can't wait to feel the excitement with all the fans like around me. And it's going to be fantastic. And also Force Friday. I miss Force Friday. Tell me you guys don't miss Force Friday.
Force Friday was pretty nice. I enjoyed Force Friday.
Hasbro's hurting right now. They're laying off employees because people aren't buying toys. So need a big IP to step in.
Force Friday. I remember when Force Awakens came out, they were like, oh my gosh, Star Wars toys are tanking. And it was like, it's actually the entire toy industry is not doing what it used to do.
Yeah. Toys R Us, man.
So it's the toy industry, unfortunately. And it wasn't just Star Wars, all right? It was, I think they said when Cars 3 came out and those numbers didn't like match, they were like, uh-oh, kids aren't buying toys anymore. But
video games.
I remember seeing that teaser during chemistry class while the teacher was playing a YouTube video on the projector and how quickly my obsession returned. Yeah, that was insane. That was just that was a great time. But I think if John Boyega is our hero of this new Star Wars movie, and Rey is kind of the Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke Skywalker, if you may, of it, I think that would be really, really cool. But part of me doesn't think Boyega would come, you know what I mean? Like, in my mind, he reads the script, he goes, okay, I'm the main guy now, I'm going to come back. But part of me is also wondering if he's going to read and be like, are you guys trying to apologize for what happened? Because, no.
See, but you also got to remember, Rey's got all the books from the teachings of the Jedi.
Yeah, true.
So we got this 15-year gap. So, like Colin was saying, I want to see what happens or give some, you know, explanation or some teaser behind what was going on in between those 15 years. What was Ray doing? You know, little things like that. Just don't jump in. I mean, even if they just jump in the movie and then explain it in back, you know, flashbacks, I'm great with that. Yeah.
Well, that's Star Wars, though. You just jump in and like you just have the crawl. We just, that's it.
We just jumped just right
throw
in
you in the deep end.
And Force Awakens too, man. That just started, and it was like, whoa, okay. But it's just really, and I'm excited for the Rey movie, but I'm also nervous that it's like there's just gonna be a huge boycott. There's gonna be a huge backlash. People are gonna talk trash about it, and then no one's gonna go watch it. I think. I don't know. It just depends on how the fan.
Yeah, there's a little bit of trash talk right now, but I mean the premise is pretty decent, I think, because going 15 years into the future, even though it's on 15 years real time, because Star Wars is a franchise of gaps. You had the gap between 1983 to 1999, then 2005 to 2015, so 10 years. The gaps are getting smaller as we go, so. Hopefully they close these gaps more and more. And going back to Kathleen Kennedy, she said we want to eventize Star Wars as if it wasn't already. But do you guys think the hype is going to be there? Are we going to see something like a 2015, 1999 scenario for 2026 when we get that first, the next Star Wars May release, which is kind of interesting. They're breaking their new tradition.
It just depends on the on how they promote it. Like I said before, I hope they don't do the J.J. Abrams promotion for this movie. I don't think that works all the time with Star Wars. I think if you go back to how George Lucas promoted the Phantom Menace, like that was just huge. The trailers were just legendary. I think David, your favorite trailer to this day is still Episode One trailer. Like it's just. It was
to me, I think that's the best. I think that's the best. Yeah, you can't top it, man. That was
so. And so I think and how he did it and how he promoted the movie and how Fox did it was really great. And it got everybody hyped, even Episode Two, especially Episode Three. Everybody was just like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be the next big movie, which Episode Three was at the time when it came out. It was huge. If they promote it that way, if they make it the big moment and not keep it all a secret and like, oh no, what's gonna, I think then that will get people more hyped.
And it needs to me, I think it really needs to look new too. Rey needs to look totally different.
Yes.
She needs to get rid of that.
Get rid of the
sewer
buns,
pipe lightsaber, throw that yellow blade away, get like a green or a purple or something different. Make her look like she did. Like Rey said, study those books and she looks like has more, way more wisdom to her, and she looks the part of a master.
I was so mad when The Rise of Skywalker was coming out and she had the three buns and she had her staff with her. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, really? We're going to go back to that look. And it was so weird. It was so shocking that they did that. Especially the staff. I'm like, she has a lightsaber. You know that, right? Like,
yeah, everyone's like, there's a lightsaber hidden in that thing. Just wait for it.
And they were like,
and then Plagueis' staff and that whole thing.
Okay, so
what's up?
Okay, go ahead, James.
No, like David said, I hope she has her hair is different. I hope she has a new lightsaber because if she has a new lightsaber,
that means
something happened to her lightsaber. That means there is another adventure that happened that she went through where she lost her lightsaber. So she has to have a new one. And I love that. I forget which other movie, Star Wars movie did that, where they have a different lightsaber. And you're just like, oh, that's cool, because it happens. You lose your lightsaber, you have to build a new one. I hope Rey looks different. I hope she doesn't have the three buns. I hope that she's just all around a different type of person, because it's 15 years. And so she needs to be different and more of a BA, if you know what I mean. Just... Yeah, so my rant is over. So,
so when you guys remember on Force Awakens, I mean, not Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, where we see Rey see her other side with the dual lightsaber,
Do you Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. Okay. Yeah. Do you all picture that that's kind of like a premonition of what she can become?
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be a definite theme. I'll not say theme, but it may be something that she's constantly kind of struggling with, which is that that is there. That is in her blood, if you may. And even though we kind of get away from that, I'm wondering if she's going to be nervous that it's still there within her, and that darkness. And I think that's going to be a very interesting thing that they tackle, which I hope they do, because it's like you said, that was a great moment. And if that works, then yeah, they set it up perfectly in The Rise of Skywalker. And then for her to be kind of doubting her powers and everything by the time you get to this movie would be pretty great.
And you think just about, so we're
all on the same page, this isn't episode 10, right? Like, they're not going to secretly just say this is Star Wars episode 10, or
it needs to be.
No,
yes, I think it needs to be.
Leave the Skywalkers alone. Let
She's a Skywalker. She's a Skywalker.
Her name is Rey Skywalker, Colin.
She buried the lightsabers for a reason.
They're coming back, Colin. We all know this.
Just let the past die, all right? Just
a simple
let it be.
Force grab.
Please.
A little bit of sand in the face. Once
no,
grab,
I mean, just like, and I think I've said this in a past episode a while ago, to me, the end of Rise of Skywalker was, it's no longer Luke's story anymore. Like, Luke and Leia are gone. The legacy of the Skywalker family will carry on through Rey, but at the same time, I want it to be just Rey's story. I don't need some tie-in, like, ooh, like, somehow this mission ties back all the way to Luke Skywalker. Like, I really want
it's
to
not
be...
it's not like it's just the continuing of the story. It's just the next chapter in the story. So for me, episode 10 makes sense. Or if you're crazy, Colin, which you are, we call it episode 1. We start over.
What?
We do this
technically
Star Wars,
yeah.
This Star Wars movie, this story is, you like you said, Skywalker saga is over.
That would be
cool. You are talking now, about like
a new book.
Right, yes. Because we got the Skywalker saga, right? So now you're saying, like, the next one would be, like, the, like, you know, just a working, like, saga title. It would be, like, the Rey saga or something. Like, I don't know.
Something.
A lot of franchises are doing that. Mortal Kombat 1, Godzilla minus 1, Star Wars 1.
Minus 1. They were
the
so, that
Infinity
was
saga. Yeah, like, I mean,
the space abacus.
I get where you're going from, but honestly, I think honestly, they should not be going forward. As much as I want them to go forward, I think they should kind of go back and kind of go to the Old Republic and focus in the High Republic, because they've been building a lot of, you know, hype for the High Republic. And we got Acolyte happening. Have the Acolyte move forward, because the point of Acolyte right now is you've got the end of phase 3 for the High Republic books, right? All of that is leading up to the Acolyte show, most likely. And then from Acolyte, most likely it will lead into the prequels. So I want more time in that era, because it's a very interesting era. But I think a lot of fans want to go back to the Old Republic. Just think
how
amazing.
Which they are, I think, right?
What?
Which they are. I mean, in London, they had that timeline and they had Old Republic on there. Yeah. So
it's just a matter of time. As much as I would love for them to go very far in the future, I don't know if I'm really interested in that. I mean, I'll still watch it because, you know, of course, the Star Wars and it's amazing. But I think, you know, I think an Old Republic trilogy, or them focusing in that time era or the High Republic era, to me would be more interesting than kind of doing something that they've already done. Because you have to think, we got to the end of Rise of Skywalker, and there were a lot of mixed feelings about it, especially because of everything that happened in The Last Jedi. And I'm not bashing The Last Jedi. I'm just saying that there was a lot of controversy from that movie leading into Rise of Skywalker. And the way that Rise of Skywalker was because of The Last Jedi, because everything that happened in production. So when that movie got done, people were like, okay, that story is done. So all of you, be honest with me. Were you surprised when Daisy Ridley walked out on stage in London and they were like, hey, we're doing a Rey movie? Because that was the last thing that was on my mind. I didn't think that was going to happen. That was very surprising to me.
I wasn't thinking about it when I was in the room.
Yeah.
But when you do think about it, I mean,
how
she is from London. Star Wars shoots in London. She had that big trip to Lucasfilm in San Francisco, and she just had lunch. And I was telling everyone, it's not just to have lunch. It's probably because she's going to be back in Star Wars.
Yeah, that was a little suspicious of her.
And she posted about it. And I'm like, what are you doing? If you're trying to keep this a secret, And then she said, no, guys, don't worry. No, the false alarm or whatever she said. It wasn't Star Wars related. So I was like, well. But yeah, her being on set, because no one knew.
No.
Only Kathleen Kennedy, I think, knew, really. And then when she showed up like 5 minutes before, like backstage, people were like, what? And then she walked out. And she actually said on a podcast, I think the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, she was the most nervous because she didn't know what the fan reaction was going to be. But then when she came out, it's like, okay, yeah. But see, Rey's a big character. Within like the Star Wars bubble we live in, she has a lot of fans. And she's people like Daisy Ridley. And I think she's a good actress. And I think she does need to be back. We don't need to wait like we did with Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, like decades to bring him back.
And that's the other thing that you used to say, David, which was, you know, they waited way too long for Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher. Now it's like, they're here. They all look amazing. Keep putting them in more Star Wars things. Like, come on. This is ridiculous.
You also got to remember, too, Mark Hamill wasn't happy with his role in the movie.
Right.
And so, which movie? The Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi.
He was not happy in Force Awakens either because he was reading the script and he's like, ooh, okay, so the lightsaber is moving in the forest. I'm going to be the one that catches it. Wait, it's Rey? Wait, hang on. And he was very like, okay. And then you even hear the commentary in The Last Jedi where he's just like, this is not my Luke Skywalker anymore.
Yeah.
I just go in and run the character. So I understand where Mark Hamill was coming from because, which we've talked about this before, and James and I have had a big debate about it, but at that moment, it was just like, when you're dealing with characters that have been established for over 40 years, you have to be careful. Now, Rey's a new character, like a recently new character that hasn't even existed for even 10 years yet, right? Like it's been like 8 or 9 years since Force Awakens. So I say, as much as I was not expecting it, I think that it will do great just because of it's that Rey's not fresh out of our systems yet. I think with more stories that maybe could tie in things from Legends that happened in Legends would be a very, very cool thing to do. And, you know, as crazy as this would be, because James said that I'm crazy, you could tie in the world between worlds and maybe Rey somehow goes to the past or something like that. Like, there are so many possibilities that you could do. Star Wars, to me, is always an untapped franchise of potential because the Star Wars universe is so broad, it's so massive. There are so many characters, there's so many stories, and there's so many things that can happen. So with Rey, I would love for her to kind of go off and do her own thing where there is no direct ties to the Skywalker legacy. Let her do her own thing. Have it feel like Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order. Have it feel like Andor, where it's Star Wars, but it's its own thing. That's what I would love for this movie to be like. I don't need a cameo from Yoda. As much as I want that, I don't need those cameos in that
movie. But they got the puppet.
I know.
So here's the thing, Colin. It's really tricky to make Rey's story its own thing without it being involved with the Skywalker saga.
I know.
You really can't do that. Like, Jedi Survivor works only because he doesn't ever see Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, or Princess Leia.
Darth Vader.
Yeah, you see Darth Vader, but...
twice.
But
spoilers.
But here's spoilers, man. Come on. But with Rey is a legacy character. Whether you like it or not, she is a Star Wars character is pretty important. No, I know, and that's what I'm saying is, if you're gonna do a Darth Vader movie, you couldn't just be like, I'm gonna do a standalone Darth Vader movie that doesn't tie in. No, you have to tie in Darth Vader to everything that's happening. Rey the same thing. You have to tie her in. Like, sure, she's on her own journey, but then she's also going to have to hark back to, like, okay, Luke Skywalker, the, you know, Han Solo, Leia, you know, like, there's, she can't just have her own adventures, what I'm saying. So I'm with David and maybe Rey, I don't know, that this should be episode, this should be a maybe at episode 10.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Because, okay, look, this is my opinion right here. This is just me throwing stuff out. You got to remember, Luke had Yoda. Mm-hmm. Luke had Obi-Wan, right? Rey's going to need someone to ask for guidance. So who is it going to be? Is it going to be Kylo Ren? Is it going to be Luke? Is it going to be Jedi? I mean, Jedi. It's going to be Yoda. Because Yoda could technically still be around because he's a puppet. So
it goes against the force rules, though.
And puppets never die.
The force rules, though, is you have
Rey
to have
never
seen
met
the person.
Yeah, Yoda in real life. So they're
well,
can't, unless they break that.
There is a catch, though, because Ezra does see Yoda in Rebels.
Right.
He well, hears no, his no. voice first, and then he sees him in person. Yes.
But he wasn't dead, though. That was different. Yeah. That was completely different.
Yeah, he was alive, right?
There.
Yes.
Yeah, he was alive.
He was alive because of the because in Rebels, it was taking place before the events of A New Hope and the entire original trilogy. That was more of like a force mirage and like kind of a vision. Kind of like what Luke did in The Last Jedi, but like not to that extent because it was really happening in Ezra's mind. It wasn't happening physically in front of him.
How about Yoda shows up anyways and Rey just never sees him? So, but the villain knew Yoda and the villain can see Yoda.
So here's something that I'm curious of what you guys think is that George and I know that Star Wars has kind of gone beyond George Lucas's like vision of what Star Wars was. To me, one of the reasons why I don't want Star Wars episode 10 to happen, I mean, it's not that I don't want it to happen, it's just like to me is George had this blueprint, right? And we already saw what the reactions of a decent amount of people were from 7, 8, and 9. And it's just like, to me, let the legacy that George Lucas started with the Skywalkers stay in that era. Let Rey be her own Luke Skywalker and move forward. That's my idea. And the only reason...
One.
I don't want it to be called episode one. It doesn't need, not every Star Wars movie needs to be episode one, episode two, episode three. Because again, the Skywalker saga, let that be it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Come
let
on.
That
we
be
gotta
it.
Do it. Fast and the Furious has fast five, was it five, fast 5, 10 or something?
I think they're like 13 or something.
Yeah. So Star Wars gotta compete with that now.
And I'm pretty sure we cross over into Star Wars here very soon.
No, it does not.
Star Wars is all about family.
He's gotta create a time machine and he's gotta go back in time to a galaxy far away. Like family.
So
let me guess, this is stories about family, is it?
No, I
force family.
I just think that it would be best if they just continued Rey's story where it was her own thing. And we've seen Star Wars, you know, kind of be outside of the realm of the Skywalker legacy, and it's still great. And I know, James, you already said that it would be difficult to do that, but if you think about it, you have Andor. You have Andor where they could have made some ties to everything happening with Vader and Luke and all that stuff. But they didn't. And it was a very new take on Star Wars because we're so used to seeing so much, so many things connected. For example, you've got The Mandalorian, you got season one, you go all the way through it. Really no Skywalker connection whatsoever. You go to season two, you go to that finale, you've got Luke Skywalker pop on screen. People are very surprised by it. It's like, oh, okay. I thought Luke Skywalker was never going to come back, that we would never see him on screen. And then you go to the Book of Boba Fett and you see him come back and it's great. But that works because it's happening in that realm of where the Skywalkers are around and they're, you know, running around and going on their own adventures because that takes place between, you know, Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. You go after Rise of Skywalker 15 years later. To me, There's so much more stuff to be explored. There's so many new things to be explored. We don't need to go backwards at that point. I want to go forwards. I want to learn new things. It doesn't need to be tied to Anakin. It doesn't need to be tied to Luke. It can be Rey being her own Luke Skywalker and Finn and Poe and all those other great characters that are established from the sequels. Have them be their own characters. We don't need any tie-in to the Skywalkers. That was the Skywalker saga. That was during the Skywalker legacy. As much as I would love that, it doesn't need to happen just to like draw people in. I think Star Wars can be Star Wars without having the Skywalkers in it, in that per se, in that timeline. It doesn't need to happen.
This is where you're, where it falls apart for what you want, is that Palpatine takes a big role and not just, you know, from the past.
Don't bring back Palpatine for the love of God.
Well, no, well, all I'm saying is you can't do that, because he, without Palpatine, we wouldn't have had any of these the episodes before.
You're right.
Without him, he set up all this. Now, that's supposedly his, you know, it's his genetic, what, daughter, granddaughter?
Yeah.
So he's the main antagonist for this whole...
Be pulling some strings, even beyond.
Yeah, in some form or another, or he could be like Dexter. That's her dark passenger that she deals with in the new episodes, where he's constantly trying to persuade her, you need to be coming to the dark side, or some form or fashion in that aspect.
That would,
you know what I mean.
I think that would work, but I think that, like Colin, I think that would turn off a lot of people if Palpatine is somewhere in this new movie talking.
That would be jumping the shark.
I am telling you, there were a lot of loose ends that happened in Rise of Skywalker. You have to think, boom, the Emperor dies, right? You have all of those Star Destroyers just hanging out there. You have all the hanging out, and also we've seen the Emperor die and come back. They could do it again. They could have him come back. I'm not saying they would do that, but to me, the Rise of Skywalker just had a lot of loose ends. And if you guys ever watched any of the, if you ever watched the Star Wars Lego holiday special stuff that they put on Disney Plus, they kind of continued the sequels in a way. They had like Rey training Finn. They had them going into Halcyon. They explored, and then they also like kind of said of what was going to happen to the characters, and that last special that they did with those characters, of where they were like, Poe is taking a fleet and they're going beyond the unknown regions. And then you had like Rey that was getting ready to start her new Jedi Order. Like, they were talking about that stuff. And to me, that was it. When Daisy really came out on stage, I was shocked, because I was like, what are they going to do? How are they going to have a story that's going to make sense? My worry is that I don't want her to come out in this new movie and like just to be there and try and do what Rise of Skywalker did with The Last Jedi. There were so many bashes in Rise of Skywalker to make up of what happened in The Last Jedi, and we don't need that to be another film. That's why Rise of Skywalker has that controversy of like, of just being like, oh, okay, it's there to like bring more people in, because The Last Jedi wasn't what all the fans wanted. I don't want that to happen with this one, because Daisy really created such a great character with Rey and everyone that worked on the sequel projects. I don't want her just to be there to be there. The story's got to make sense. I can't make sense of a story that would have her come back. Can you guys think of anything? Because it doesn't really make sense. Like, cool, she is building her own Jedi Order. That's great. Who is she going to fight? Are they going to make up a villain? Are they going to bring something from Legends? There's so many possibilities, but I don't need them to have any tie-ins and like of saying like, ooh, here's Ghost Anakin Skywalker, here's this. They will do that just to do that, and I don't think they need to. I think they can do a story to where it can bring people in. That's not going to be a direct thing. In my opinion, I'm kind of surprised that they're doing a Rey movie. Like, I have nothing against Rey at all, but I'm just surprised by it.
He doesn't want a Rey movie. But the thing is, you got to factor in, it's those three movies that we got were done by the writers and directors were all three. But who's it? Like, two of them were, or they're all three different directors.
You had J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, and then Colin Trevorrow, which the original script for that movie was amazing, by the way. But then he backed out because things changed.
But that's what I'm saying. You had too many chiefs in the kitchen trying to cook.
Yep.
You know, a dinner, a good dinner.
Yep.
And with Dave Filoni taking over, where Kennedy should have been doing and watching over these movies, which, don't hate me because I'm going to say this, is where she failed to a certain extent by jumping around with these different, you know, writers, script writers and stuff like that. I think Dave is going to try to fix this and give us a good story to continue with this series on. If you think about it, he gave us characters that we eventually grew to love, not just the Bad Batch characters. He gave us Ahsoka. Yeah. These were characters that were not part of the original Star Wars movies. So his writing is great and his imagination is there. So with him being in the seat that he's in currently, I think things are going to be in good hands, but that's my opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
I definitely think that Star Wars is in good hands with Dave Filoni, almost at the very top. I think he is at as high as he can go on the corporate ladder there for Lucasfilm. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does with it, because now, I mean, if it's a horrible story, everyone's blaming Dave Filoni now. They have to, because he's at the very top. They're not going to look at Kathleen Kennedy. Everyone knows that she's not creative. She's not responsible for that. It's Dave Filoni. So if he's not shooting that movie, though, it's someone named Obeid Chinoy, I believe. And I think she was handpicked by Kathleen Kennedy, so Kennedy might get the blame still. But yeah, there was talk earlier that Daisy Ridley wasn't really going to be in this film that much. So it might not be a Rey movie.
But that's how they're advertising.
The new Jedi Order movie. I think that's what they're kind of leaning towards. Oh, like the Jedi in disarray.
Well, then that changes everything. In my opinion, that will change everything. In my opinion, if it's not a Rey based story,
but see, it can all change like that. Because I mean, Lucasfilm and under Disney, movies get canceled, directors disappear, actors leave.
True.
So I mean, we just don't know. It's kind of like we're reporting on like just possible news. So
okay, I understand what you're saying. So you're basically saying that they're using Rey's character as like the kind of lead to like kind of draw people in, but it's not going to be a Rey movie. It will be about the new Jedi Order that she started.
Right. Kind of like what James is saying with like episode one, but it's new story. Well, that changes everything, but we don't know. We don't know if Mark Hamill's going to be there as a Force Ghost. We don't know if Hayden's exactly. Signed a big contract with an acting firm. So I mean, he might want to be like, hey guys, I want to keep on doing the Star Wars thing because it's really good for everyone, seemingly. So
here's the thing,
and he's worked with Filoni with Ahsoka, so yeah, I got that connection now,
right? Because if that ends up being the case, that kind of changes my perspective, because you've got the new Jedi Order. And it's not focused on Rey. You can explore new characters, which opens for more storylines that going in, where it would not really focus on the Skywalker legacy, which is where I was going with. So now that makes more sense. That draws me in more, because we've already established of what the Skywalker legacy is. And for the audience, for the most part, understands it. If we're focusing on the new Jedi Order with new characters and maybe new parts of the galaxy that we've never explored before, sign me up. I'm in. That's more intriguing to me than a Rey-based movie. If Rey is there guiding people, then yes, let's go. But
let's open your mind on this part. Yeah. What if we get like what we got, New Hope? So we get jumped in, we get New Hope, but it's basically Rey. Rey's Obi-Wan. And we get introduced to a new character right away, and she's basically Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And we see some type of form of story, kind of like what we got, where we see young Luke go with Obi-Wan. And then, I mean, you think about it. Us older kids, when we watched New Hope and we see this, we don't know anything about these characters at this point. We just know it's a space movie. And then we see this Jedi who's, you know, Luke's looking up to at that point, get killed like right off the bat, you know, in the Death Star. What if they go that route with Rey? We see something like that, a younger character introduced, her taking him on, and then she gets killed off right away. You know, what if they go that route? Most of the, and then this is the thing about Hollywood currently, is Hollywood kind of has been staying to the same type of story. If you guys, did any of you guys see Godzilla Minus One?
I was going to try to on Wednesday.
Okay. So, okay, then never mind. I can't use that as a scenario. But they kind of took the original TV series and movies, or TV series movies, and they kind of incorporated to current time.
Okay.
So, but yet, so in other words, the special effects at that time weren't where they needed to be now. So, this current movie is great overall. You guys go watch it. Story was great. Special effects are great. The budget wasn't that big. So if they can do the same thing with this current Star Wars movie, dude, in the writing, I think is going to be the most important thing for this Rey movie. And I, like I said, I really trust Filoni that he's going to oversee this, because he's basically Lucas, you know, to a certain extent, you know what I mean? Cause he learned from
him. Yeah. Yeah. No, I have no problem against Daisy Ridley. She is a great actress and she brought to life this amazing character. But with the with the legacy of the Skywalker family, I think that story's been told. That's what I've been trying to say. So if they ended up doing that, then I would be like, oh, okay. Just because of we've had so much story of where it's kind of gone beyond the vision that George Lucas had. So in my mind, it was like, okay, Rise of Skywalker happened. That's the end of it. Let's go forward. Always moving forward. And I feel like if we just had a Rey-based movie, it would just be kind of going backwards. Because I just don't want to see what happened with these characters like in Rise of Skywalker. Because that was just a... It was just sad to see it in that state where they had to try and make up for things that happened in The Last Jedi. And I just don't want that to happen again. And if they have it to where they focus on the new Jedi Order and they move forward and they introduce new characters where they become their own thing, and maybe Rey ends up being the new Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'm okay with that. Again, I have no problem with Rey. It's just with the Skywalker family legacy in my mind, and maybe some other people as well had that state of mind where like, okay, that is done. We are done with the story of the Skywalkers, like, you know, going forward. We are done with Rey as like, and we're just moving forward. So if they did a Rey based movie, I would be like, okay, what are they going to do that we haven't seen? How are they going to incorporate the Skywalker legacy, like of going forward? Because at that point, it's just like, okay, we've had the sequels and everything, we've kind of established of what Rey's doing, but if we, and I don't know, I'm sounding like a broken record, but it's just, I think, with what David said, if it ends up being the new Jedi Order, I think that would work best. And then Rey is there. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. As far as what Daisy Ridley is going to be in these films, it feels more so leaning towards she'll be like the Obi-Wan figure. I think she made a comment and someone printed it that she did read either the synopsis, the outline of it, and she was kind of surprised by it. So feels like it's going to be something different. So It would shock me if it was still the same type of thing, just rerunning back the original trilogy or the prequels. So,
yeah.
But yeah, hopefully John Boyega can join. I think he's got a big part to play. It's just up to him because he didn't come off the sequel trilogy being that happy. So, but I mean, he's older now. He can voice more of his more of the stuff he doesn't agree with on set and maybe speak up a little bit more because it seems like he just felt like his character was done wrong. Even though he became a Force user, we all know he's Force sensitive. And then like Colin explained in the Lego continuation of the sequels, he's training with Rey. So hopefully he's already had the training so nobody can go back and say they have no training. Well, they did training and they'd have to give us prequels for that. to see that, which would be wild, but as we all know, that Star Wars kind of is like poetry, it rhymes, so we might get that, but
yeah, for sure, it's gonna be interesting, it's gonna be fun. I mean, we've got so much to look ahead of what they can do wise, especially with, like I said, Filoni. I really believe he's gonna overlook these stories before he approves anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I said, that's just my opinion. I mean, the stuff that he's done, the episodes, like I said, the characters, he's kind of like Robert Kirkman. He creates these characters. He makes you love them. Now, mind you, he doesn't kill them off like Robert Kirkman does in, you know, like Walking Dead and stuff like that. But he does make you care about these characters. I mean, a perfect example, Bad Batch. You know, the one episode that really gets me, like, hey, guys, if you haven't seen Bad Batch, spoilers, pause it right here.
Yeah.
You know, when, you know, good soldiers follow orders. And when you see Tech cut the cord, that right there was, he was basically saying, yeah, they're good. They're soldiers, but they don't always follow orders because look what they did. They went away from, you know, the Empire. But at that particular time, he knew he had to cut the cord.
Yeah.
In order to save the, you know what I mean? So that right there was a great story. He made you love that character. And that's what I like about the writing of the show.
So with you saying that, that makes me nervous that they would bring something from Legends, which I dreaded about the possibility of that happening in the sequels, which is in Legends, Chewie dies saving Han Solo's son with a planet like collapsing.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. Yeah,
and I would just be terrified to see Chewie die. It like of where he comes back in this new movie, and everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, wow! Like it's Chewie. He's still alive. Of course, he's alive." And then you know something happens to where he sacrifices himself for the group. And that would just be such a tragic thing. And I know there was that chance of them doing that in Rise of Skywalker. And the audience was just devastated. But in my mind, it was like, they can't kill Chewie. It's Chewbacca. They can't do that. And sure enough, he shows up. And I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, no, you're right. There is that chance where they would do things kind of like in A New Hope of where maybe Rey is that Obi-Wan type character.
Yeah.
And then she fights the greater evil and she loses the fight and she becomes a Force ghost. And then that would be like, okay, all right, that's happening. What's happening next? And, you know, maybe it becomes Star Wars Episode 10. Who knows? But at that point, I would just be like, don't let it be Star Wars Episode 10. Just let it be its own trilogy or something. Because at that point, the Skywalker legacy is ended. That's why it's called the Skywalker Saga. There's no continuation of the Skywalkers that really needs to be done.
You see, I mean, like, perfect example. Let's say Lando has a kid that we don't know about.
He did have a kid. And it's all hinted that it is Jania, right? Is that her name?
With
the crossbow?
Yeah, Jana.
Jana. Okay. Yeah. That's been like very, very hinted at, not even just in the very end of the movie of where Lando kind of points to her and is like, hey, let's find out together. There is like a kind of Star Wars Episode 9 dictionary and you see that there's like, it kind of gives his description and then it gives her description, and it pretty much is pointing at like that she is his child, but they just didn't talk about it in the movie. Just like how we didn't actually see Finn become a Jedi in Rise of Skywalker. Like, we know it happened.
Well, I think we know for sure, according to the official Star Wars, the Rise of Skywalker novelization.
Yeah.
It seemingly confirms Janna is not Lando Calrissian's daughter.
Interesting. Okay. Because they definitely hinted at it in the episode 9 visual dictionary. And then they also very hinted at it in at the end of Rise of Skywalker. So that was like a big thing. Because of Lando's kid was kidnapped when his kid was a child. And then that kind of led into, okay, that would make sense. And the storylines just kind of crossed over. So that's why, to a lot of the audience, it makes sense that, you know, she would be. So, but are you saying, Ray, that you would want to see Lando's daughter? Like, or
okay, you think about it. Okay, this is just me thinking outside the box. What if we see, okay, just like Marvel, they're setting up the Young Avengers, right?
Okay.
So they introduced Lando's child, right? So that's one. You know, and then they introduce, I mean, possibly, I mean, this is a what if.
Don't you say it.
No. Okay, yeah, we're not going to see. I mean, there's mention, you know, Vanessa Marshall wants to play, you know, which was supposed to be Luke's wife, our wife.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to introduce that. I mean, if it's going to be introduced, and of course, they don't have a kid, of course, because Luke's already died. There's a number of things that can be done. But if they link, like Boba Fett, perfect example, the novels as well. He had a daughter, you know, so there's those little things they can give and take from different parts, even though they say they're not official legacies or whatever, or proper wording. But what if they do that? What if they introduce these characters to continue the legacy of the main characters? And I know this is where you kind of don't want the Star Wars, the Skywalker legacy, but what if they have those characters and we see their children taking on the mantle for their, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility you'd be willing to see happen or not?
At that point, it would kind of feel forced in a way. Kind of going to Travis's comment. So, yes, that was the name of his daughter, but you have to remember, when the kids were kidnapped, they forgot their name. Finn didn't even know his real name. He was FN2187. He didn't even know his real name.
I think Travis is referring to the comics. Lando's daughter is Cadera Calrissian, kidnapped by the First Order.
Yeah.
So she was 2 years old, I believe.
Right.
When that happened. So you're not going to remember anything when you're two.
Right.
I mean, it's still kind of up in the air. I mean, like you said, in the film,
It's definitely hinted at. It's not confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, you can read it that way, and you could maybe not read it that way. It's all just kind of, yeah. I mean, that was a popular theory, but and of course, we all know the novelizations can be overridden by live action. So, that's kind of just something that's up in the air. And yes, I know that actress.
True, from a certain point of view.
Yeah, I know that actress. She's a working actress. And I think if they asked her to come back to Star Wars, I think she would. But, I mean, going back to what Ray just talked about here, we're traveling to different galaxies now.
Yeah.
I mean, the universe is big. It's a Star Wars universe now. It's just not just one galaxy.
Yeah.
A long time ago. So let's bring in new stories, new characters.
I just feel like that would be way too on the nose, Ray. Like, I mean, as much as I would love to see that, I just feel like that would be really on the nose. It'd be like, here's Lando's daughter. And then, crazy enough, because Ray was part of a Force dyad, she had a child. And this is her kid. Like,
Ray did make me think, what if Ray got pregnant somehow and had a kid?
We don't need that. Like,
it is 15 years later. I mean, that would be kind of shocking.
No, we don't need that. We don't need that. You are saying everything.
Another
that
super
I don't
popular
want.
Or super powerful.
Just being like, I'm more focused on what they were saying. A new Jedi Order. That's exciting. That is brand new.
New rules.
There's a whole universe. There's a whole galaxy in the unknown regions that hasn't even explored. Like, we got to go to a new galaxy in Ahsoka, and that was just one planet.
Yeah.
Imagine doing that with new characters in a new era where there is no Skywalker, like any legacy tie-in. There's no Empire. There's no First Order. There's maybe the new Republic at that point. Wait, what? Upon watching E.T. again, you can argue E.T. and Elliot are a tie-in on the Force. Okay. But yeah, no, it's just at that point, you've got these new characters. You've got this whole galaxy, probably a new galaxy that they're going to explore. Establish that. Work on that. There's so many possibilities.
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, you think about it. Okay, perfect example. Going back to the books. Rey's got the books. Going back all the way to High Republic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. High Republic.
She gets to read from the beginning how things started to current, which it's kind of the weird thing, because now she's gonna know this part of it, and she's gonna have to learn about the dark side part of it as well, you know. So it's gonna be that's where I said that 15-year gap is gonna leave such a big gap. They're gonna okay, so either
there is an opening for that, for her to learn dark side stuff,
because yes,
we all knew that the prequel Jedi couldn't, because that was like taboo to learn about the dark side.
Well, so did you know it is actually canon? Because it was the idea of the original Jedi Temple being built over a Sith Temple.
Right. Yeah.
That was toyed around with, of having that as like an opening scene in Rise of Skywalker, where Kylo Ren would go visit the temple. He would go down an elevator and you would discover it was a Sith Temple. In the High Republic, it is canon. It is officially canon that the Jedi Temple in Coruscant was built over a Sith Temple. So yeah, there are tie-ins to the Sith in some way, which is a very, very interesting thing. And I am excited to see where that goes, because, you know, you've got Acolyte, which will eventually lead into the prequel era, where we will, you know, most likely see Darth Plagueis. And we may see young Palpatine, like all that will lead into it. So with Rey, there's that dark side potential, just because she has that Sidious blood running through her veins, right? So the curiosity is there for the dark side. You know it's going to be, just as it was for Anakin. And Luke kind of toyed with that idea as well, because he was about to take out his own nephew, which that's a whole other thing. But yeah, so it's just there is a lot of storyline that can be that could happen in that movie, or you could do a comic book series of where, or a novel that kind of like a novel that kind of explains that 15-year gap, but. You could do shows too, kind of like what they're doing with The Mandalorian.
Perfect example right there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential. Yeah. Now it's just up to Disney, Filoni. How are they going to give it to us?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Feels like we're going to get bombarded with movies until they don't work. And then they'll try something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, dude, like I said, you know, in the meantime, this is why I watch. You've got fans who watch just that are just nothing but Star Wars based. You've got fans who just watch Star Trek and that's it, nothing really else, or they watch other sci-fi stuff. Me, I watch too much sci-fi stuff because my mind needs to be constantly fed stuff. So from Doctor Who to Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek.
That new Doctor Who was amazing, by the way. Like, this is a great year for David Tennant. Like, a very great year because of him showing up in Star Wars again and then him showing up as the Doctor again. Man, this is a great year for him. And
dude, he's
Yeah.
Having a field day right now.
Fantastic. Up here.
Oh, dude, it'd be nice if you were to come to SpaceCon, okay. Dude. Oh,
I thought you just confirmed that he was, and I was like, are you serious?
No, I said he needs to show up there so we can all see him in person and hang out with him and be like, hey, what's Star Wars podcast? Let's do a quick interview. Here's Colin.
Yeah, I love David Tennant. He is a remarkable actor, and anything that he does, he owns it, and he makes it his own thing. And I think he kind of stole the thunder in Ahsoka because of just every scene that that he was in. For a droid, he just sounded like a Jedi, and it was like, oh, this is great. And sometimes you had to back up and be like, oh my gosh, that is David Tennant. Like, that's insane. He did such a fantastic job. I love the actor, and I just love his character in Star Wars. And then, you know, I love him as the Doctor. So yeah,
it would be great to see him in Acolyte as well. I mean, there's so much more potential to see him later on.
So I have a couple of predictions for Acolyte, and honestly, I think that Hu Yang is gonna show up in Acolyte, just so it's like, ooh, like, look, like it's like it's that tie-in, because in the Clone Wars and then in Ahsoka, he was saying, I have been helping younglings build lightsabers for, you know, thousands of years. So it's like, boom, there's your tie-in. There you go. Have him show up in Acolyte, not as a main character, most likely, unless they find a way to really tie that in. But yeah, no. Fantastic. We'd love to see that. And then most likely Yoda will make some type of cameo.
I think Leslie Headland really gets it, and with that, I think she's going to give us young Palpatine, Darth Plagueis, probably young Darth Maul,
Yoda,
Yarl Poof.
About Yarl Poof.
Obo Rancisis.
Yes, let's go. Because if those two Jedi are alive during that time, are in the Light of the Jedi in that first High Republic book. So it's like,
The Acolyte, I think that's the one that's going to be the big one, where we're going to be like, oh my gosh, Star Wars is either back or they almost had it.
That ending shot of where they all turn on their lightsabers, I just remember sitting next to Dave and I'm like, oh my God, like, let's go. And there's a Wookiee Jedi. I mean, come on.
I'm still jealous you guys got to see that trailer and it still hasn't dropped for us to watch it.
I can send it to you after the show, right?
Don't act like you have it.
Oh man, because every time I hear people talk about, you know, the people who were there,
yeah,
and they still haven't given us a trailer for this.
That's weird, man.
Yeah,
I have a feeling it's coming up. I feel like in the beginning of next year they're going to be like, all right, here we go, because we know that we've got Acolyte and we've got Skeleton Crew, Bad Batch Season 3, Tales of the Jedi, and then potentially Star Wars Outlaws, because that game apparently is on hiatus. It has not been officially announced. It's on hiatus over at the Game Awards. They did put the topic on, what do the fans think will be the most anticipated game? And Star Wars Outlaws was on there. So it's like, oh, okay. So I guess they're still planning on having it, but who knows, because we haven't really heard words since that trailer that came out earlier this year. So
just FYI, I've been reaching out to the actress who plays that character in Outlaw. And I am trying to work and get her to come on the show. I already reached out to the, she gave me a contact to reach out to, and we're on the list for them. Once they do a press, hopefully I said, don't forget about us. So hopefully we can get her on the show and talk about the game and all that stuff. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we can get that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm definitely excited for that. And I'm going to be buying the Avatar game for sure, because it's the same company that's building the Star Wars game. So that's kind of a glimpse of what we're going to get. So I am definitely intrigued for that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, David, I know you got to get up early.
Yep. Very early. And it's what time is it right now?
Well,
12:14
o'clock. No, it's 1:15.
I'm gonna go into zombie mode at work. So
Red Bull Stir.
I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do another podcast. I know Colin and Ray will do a podcast on Thursday, so look for it on YouTube. You'll always see it as soon as it drops on YouTube. So don't forget to check us out there. Plus, you can check us out on Instagram, Star Wars Stuff Podcast, on X at Stuff Pod, Threads, Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Always on Patreon. We love our patrons. We had Maka here in the comments a while ago. Thank you so much for being a member. We're also on TikTok. There's TikToks, I think, daily, I believe. And you can email the show at StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com. We have a Star Wars Stuff Facebook group with a Facebook page. You can find us on Twitch, I think, still. No? Yes? Star Wars Stuff Gaming?
Yes.
Colin and Josh play a lot of Star Wars games. Also, write us a review on Apple, and you can also give us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple. And we also have a website, StarWarsStuffPodcast.com. And I want to also shout out all the people that were live tonight in the comments. Crystal Kyber, she's actually co-hosted with me on the show before. Legacy of Nerd, Travis Mitchell, thank you for all your awesome comments out there. And Maka made a quick cameo. It's probably
that everyone was on. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then also, guys, you can go to RetroRay210, where if you want other news other than Star Wars, you know, we talk about Star Wars. We're going to be doing comic reviews. We're also do reviews on other comics, Transformers, Godzilla, Justice League.
There you go.
You know, anything geek related that you love, you can go there. You can find it. And then, of course, Star Wars stuff will be there as well. Like I said, come like and subscribe.
There you go.
All right. For Retro Ray, Colin, and a sleepy David, may the force be with you.
Always.